It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. It is a new day, a very appropriate song, as I am happy to welcome to the show for the first time, at least with me, from ESPNCleveland.com, Tony Grossi. Tony!
Nathan, where you been?
I guess I've been hiding. Well, I'm glad we have finally connected here in hot Tampa. And unfortunately, we should be connecting on the golf course, but we'll take the studio for right now. A joint practice, and I remember last year going to those joint practices, it was eye-opening in a very bad way, I think. Today, night and day, a lot of people have said, what was your takeaway from today's joint practice with the Bucks?
It was kind of hard to see both sides of the ball because they were on opposite fields. And I concentrate on offense because I'm just totally immersed in what they can be. But I agree with you. On offense, I thought the Browns made more plays. Now, I saw at least two interceptions of RG3. But I saw a lot of catches, and a lot of good catches by Pryor. And Gordon looks to be rounding in the shape. So I thought that side of the ball was clearly won by the Browns. I didn't see any calamities by the Browns like we did in Pittsford, New York, a year ago. Now, on the defense, I was keeping an eye on that, and I noticed a lot of flags. But then I read the transcript from Dirk Koetter, and he was horrified at the way his team performed. So I guess the defense won over there, too, the Browns defense. So this is totally opposite of a year ago.
And to come out in the heat, and it was an earlier time than they've been accustomed to practicing. Hugh Jackson said they started sluggishly. But to see the tempo that this offense was able to go with in this heat, did that impress you?
Yeah. And I think it's going to really pay off. Like Hugh suspects, that, you know, the trip to Miami coming up second or third week of the season. They're not sluggish. I mean, they're keeping up the pace that they have in Berea. And this, hey, this is oppressive out here. We were just drenched.
Yeah.
Standing in the shade, you're drenched. So I can't imagine what it's like for those guys. And I didn't see guys taking extra water breaks or needing extra fluids. So it's a testament to their condition. I mean, he's got them going.
You talked about Terrell Pryor, and I think, you know, we stood out obviously in the first two preseason games with those big catches, and he's done it against established corners today, no different against Brent Grimes, a very established corner league. Is he the most improved player on the team in your eyes?
There is no question about it. And he's not only improved on the field, but he's working so much harder than a year ago. It just seems like he got it somewhere. Whether it's Hugh who got through to him or he saw the potential he has, I'm amazed because I think I saw plays today he made that like are just like natural receiver plays where it's not just a matter of can he catch. It's he's using his body, he's using the sideline, he's getting the boundary receptions, he's using all hands. He doesn't bring the ball to his body. I think he's by far and away the most improved player out there.
And it gets you excited because then there's Josh Gordon back and Corey Coleman, who we've seen. And you think to yourself, I mean, when I was watching out there and Pryor and Gordon were working together a lot with the first team, we haven't seen one receiver other than Gordon that's looked like that, let alone two at the same time.
Yeah, and Tampa has Vincent Jackson and Michael Evans, so it's not unique. I mean, to compete nowadays, you have to have that.
Sure.
And the Browns haven't had that. But then if you add Corey Coleman in there, man, that's an element, that threesome, that very few teams can have. If they all and Hugh keeps pointing this out, it's still a long way off to get them all playing at peak efficiency together. We know there's going to be an interruption with Josh Gordon, and Pryor and Coleman is just introducing himself to the NFL. So it's not going to happen September 11th. But at some point this season, these guys are going to be all playing together. It's going to be like a circus out there.
It could be a lot of fun. I think it's certainly the most prolific probably since 2007 for this organization. What concerns you, though, still on the offense? Because I think it's so easy to get caught up in the flash of what it could be. What needs to happen for that to happen?
Well, I still think that Cam Irving is like the second most important player out there behind Robert Griffin because we don't know if he can do it. And, there's every step of the way, there's something to be concerned about, whether it's a snap sailing over the head or getting mauled or missing an assignment or missing a check. So he's got to be good in order for everything to work. And He's not right now, but he can be by the time they get there. But to me, that's the biggest concern, far more than Pastor at right tackle. I think he's settling in. Nobody even talks about him, which is a great sign.
Yeah, with an offensive lineman. Yeah. And somebody asked me today what I thought of Cam Irving. And I said, well, he didn't stand out to me in any bad way. So hopefully and that's progress.
I actually asked Gerald McCoy about him afterwards. And McCoy wasn't directly on him, so he wasn't engaged with him. And he said, I'll have to look at the film. But I didn't notice anything good or bad. We'll take that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Talking with Tony Grossi here on CBD. And just quickly so we can put this to bed. The stuff that came out, the non-story about Gordon is what I would call it, that teams were interested. The Browns are saying he's not available. Is there anything to that?
Well, I'm sure they're interested. I mean, word is spreading fast about Gordon. But people have to understand, in any trade, it's going to be conditional on there's still the risk of him misstepping. And one more violation, and he's out indefinitely again. And,
sure.
And nobody wants to inherit that for a high draft pick. That's why I don't think a trade can happen, because he's too valuable to the Browns for what you could probably get to him for him for that risk. But I don't doubt that teams are asking, you know, what are you guys thinking about Gordon? But you're not going to get a first-round pick for a guy with that hanging over his head.
Right, and that's what I think you would need to even consider moving that kind of a talent.
I think Hugh talks about creating the environment for Robert Griffin, right, and others, but primarily him. And part of that environment is giving him all these weapons. I mean, Burnage, you know, Duke Johnson, who we haven't even talked about. We haven't even seen him incorporated that much from what we heard. And then Pryor, Coleman, and Gordon. And it's making it easier for Griffin. And I think, obviously, that's what Hugh wants. He doesn't want him to be the star or have to be the star. So if you take Gordon away, you know, you're hurting yourself a little bit.
I'm pretty sure there are quarterbacks of Browns past that wish they had such luxuries.
Yeah, well, it's very similar to Derek Anderson the year he had. I mean, all he had to do was fire the ball out there and let those guys. And it's kind of the same concept, I think.
And it looks good. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is Gordon, in his comments today, said, I don't want to be traded. I want to be here. I want to be a Brown. This is where I want to be.
You know, they've done so much to create this support system for him, not only what we see, but what we don't see, you know, behind closed doors, to keep him on the straight and narrow. And then on the field, you know, the support of having familiar faces like Coleman, who's a familiar face, Robert Griffin, and Hugh believes in him. So it is the right coach for him. It's just like if Robert Griffin is going to resurrect his career, it's going to be with this coach, because he believes in him so much. And the same is true with Gordon. Gordon talks about, I've never been happier and all that. So why would you ruin that right now?
Right.
I mean, where were teams calling in the middle of his 1-year suspension? Why were they after him then? I'm sure they could have had him for a song and a dance then.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that they did not. Talk with Tony Grossi. Now, offensively, we're excited. Defensively, the facts are the facts. They've been on the field 40 minutes in each of the first two preseason games, giving up too many plays, too many yards, too easily, especially on the ground. And we've seen that for a couple of years now. Can that be fixed? And is that the big question, I guess?
Well, you got to believe it's going to get better, because it can't get much worse right now. Everybody's running on the Browns. And, you know, Danny Shelton said something the other day, which I kind of buy into. Don't overreact to the preseason statistics. They're putting guys in places that they might not be there on September 11th, some of these parts, you know. Nick Hayden's here and John Hughes isn't, and they're still getting a feel for their defense. And what concerns me, though, Nathan, is I don't see any playmakers on defense like you do on offense. I mean, you know what Pryor can do with the ball, and we've seen what Coleman can do and Gordon, but I don't see any guys making plays on defense right now, and they're not just going to appear out of nowhere. So I think that defense is going to be a problem, but hey, the defense is a problem for Pittsburgh, and they almost got to the Super Bowl last year.
You can score, right? If you can score.
So I think they're building the team the right way, and all the energy right now is on offense, and all the playmakers are on offense, and you're going to have to get to the defense another time
and you gotta
work
hope.
With these guys.
Joe Hayden, who came back for the first time, we got to see him against another team, had a nice day out there. What did you see from Joe?
Well, I saw him have an interception, and I see, man, you just look in his eyes, and he is so determined,
hungry
to make people forget last year, including himself. So I've said before, I think he's going to have his best year. Now, I don't know how that manifests, and numbers or interceptions or something, but I fully expect him to be a leader out there when things get going. One cornerback can't carry a defense, though.
Correct.
And the secondary is pretty new around him, but I think he'll be fine.
Who's one person that has really surprised you? Who's been like the biggest surprise to Tony Grossi in this Browns camp?
Other than Pryor.
Yeah.
Because he's even exceeded what I've been behind him, but he's exceeded what I ever imagined. This Jamar Taylor is starting to surprise me. I mean, he was a bust in Miami.
Yeah.
And the change of scenery has turned him into a player. I saw him get an interception today, so he keeps getting his hands on balls. Nassib has been a surprise this early. I'd like to see him play against the first team and see what he can do. And Meter is always a surprise to me. You see him out there with that beard hanging back and
sure.
swinging back and forth and making plays. But I wouldn't say, for this matter, Griffin has been a surprise. I didn't expect him to be as good he is right now, you know, in this thing. We don't know how he's going to be September 11th, but right now he's better than I thought he was going
to
be.
I mean, you talked today earlier about how the ball wasn't hitting the ground, and that's just not something we're used to seeing when the Browns are on offense, especially joint practices, yeah. practices at home, anything. And it just yeah. seems like they're in a good rhythm.
Yeah, well, when camp started, there were a lot of balls on the ground,
yeah.
and they're being eliminated. So you could see when Hugh says he's getting better every day, I actually see that. So I'm a little surprised by that.
Do you think one of the things I talked about with Hugh earlier today was just the amount of people that have a chip on their shoulder? I think Hugh Jackson has a big chip on his shoulder. He'd readily admit that. You know, RG3 was discarded by Washington. Jamar Taylor, second-round pick, discarded. DeMario Davis was kind of discarded by the Jets. And Pryor was told he couldn't do this. And Gordon, I think, has got a lot to prove. And Hayden. It almost feels like this is a team that at times you could think in the past, and you know certainly better than I from the time that you've been here, kind of went through the motions. Whereas I feel like this year's team feels like it has something to prove.
Yeah, certainly individually, all those guys, and collectively, let's face it, the team has
sure.
a lot to prove, and guys who have been here like Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden know that better than anyone. But you're right, they seemed, you know, it was kind of a team speak at the time when they picked these guys and with these chips on their shoulder and as a reason for bringing them here. But it actually is playing out on the field. I mean, there's you're right, Jamar Taylor. I mean, he was a bust, and now he's got a new life. You know, he mentioned to me in an interview, Vontae Davis went through the same thing at Miami. He was considered a bust. They got rid of him, traded him to Indy, and he went on to a good career, although he's hurt right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like a team of, you know, the team of misfit toys that are coming together.
Who's one person that you think is going to make this roster that maybe before training camp you didn't, or somebody that's like that's become kind of like the apple of your eye, is kind of an unheralded guy?
All right. Raheem Mostert, I think, is a guy who I thought look on the running back chart, and I thought Terrell Watson was clearly ahead of him
was a
coming
shoo-in.
In.
Sure.
And Crowell and Duke Johnson, but I think Mostert has established so many roles on special teams, and he's looked good at running back. So I think he's a guy that for people filling out the roster contest, you better keep him in mind, where I wouldn't have think he could have survived it. So he's one that comes to mind. I can't think of anyone else right now.
Okay.
I would put in that category, but I was thinking about him today being out there.
Yeah, he's showing a lot of wiggle, a lot of burst, yeah. led the team in rushing in that first preseason game, and it certainly has been a good kick returner as well.
Yeah, and I think some of these unheralded or unknown cornerbacks, like at the back end of the depth chart, there's going to be some new unfamiliar names there, like Tracy Howard,
sure.
who are impressing the coaches that aren't common names right now to the average Browns fan.
Yeah, I think Tracy Howard's done a lot for himself. Dominique Alexander, another undrafted yeah. free agent at linebacker, has done a lot for himself. I can't wait, Tony, for this team to finally get to the point where they can be good. We can end some wars, and then all of a sudden you can like become the snark can just be directed at all the haters who won't get on the bandwagon.
Yeah, that'll be different. I'll have to redirect my whole thing. But there'll still be a lot there this year, I guarantee you.
Oh, no doubt.
But the offense is going to be enjoyable to watch, I think. I mean, I will be shocked at this point if it's a huge letdown as we've come to expect once the season starts and
sure.
the offense all of a sudden can't score and everyone's going to say, I told you so. Well, I won't be one of those because I really think they're turning a corner offensively.
What would make this a successful season in your mind for the Browns?
Well, I think they have to win at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's so important not to finish six losses in a row and five out of the last seven or whatever. Just not that you forsake the beginning of the year, but the team's got to be better at the end of the year.
Yeah, development, absolutely.
And the offense has to be enjoyable. I think it is going to be productive. And then whatever the number of wins are, it's got to be more than last year, which isn't much. But I think, you know, Haslam always says this, and I buy into it. We'll know if they're any better. I mean, you don't need to be 7-9 to feel, you know, that much better about this team. If they're 6-10 and you know, well, a couple of those wins come in the second half or towards December and the offense is scoring and people aren't, you know, Andy Lee isn't punting 100 times, it'll be a successful season. Then they have to work on the defense. They got to get playmakers on defense.
And then hopefully they can build to that time. Well, it has certainly been a pleasure. Glad we were able to finally do this, and hopefully we can do it again in the future and enjoy Tampa, and hopefully you get out there and are able to golf at some point, because this is going to be a long time down here without the sticks and beautiful
weather. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but hopefully we won't get eaten alive by the bugs.
That's right. We will all hope for that. Tony Grossi, my guest here when we come back. Doug Deacon, the Browns color analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will join us with his thoughts. He was out of practice today. We'll tell you what the Deke saw right after this.
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. I don't know what it means, but if Jason Gibbs and Tony Grossi can both be on Cleveland Browns Daily in the same day and both be positive about what they've seen from the Cleveland Browns, what in the world? Gibbs, what does this mean?
I think we should go drinking because the end of the world is coming. That's what I think.
The end of the world is near. Well, hopefully not. I enjoy being alive.
I had a couple of those jalapenos last night after your cocktail. They left. I'm like, yeah, come on. Intern Patrick from the PR department. I go, come on, eat one with me. Dude, I couldn't taste anything for a good 30 minutes after I ate one.
And
I was sweating.
I'm at the point where like a jalapeno.
And I love jalapenos.
It's like candy. That's like not even hot to me.
Yeah, I thought the world was going to end last night, that I wasn't ever going to be able to eat anything again and taste
it. So you're not in danger of going to my drink of choice, which is tequila, fresh jalapenos, and a little lime.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. That's fine. It's a fine drink.
Let's bring in another man who was at our table last night holding court with some. He didn't say much, but when he did, it was certainly impactful. Doug Deacon, the Browns analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Deke, how are you?
Doing fine. I had to hydrate, too.
We all had to hydrate this morning after some good times last night, some good storytelling. But I think there was also some good storytelling on the field today for the Browns. What were your impressions about their performance today in this joint practice with the Bucs?
Well, I think, you know, after seeing what happened last year up at Rochester with Buffalo, or you know, they went up there and just kind of got it handed to them today. I thought it was a pretty even playing field, and I thought they held their own. And they looked like they were more in sync offensively. They did some nice things. I watched some of the pass protection drills. The guys held their own there. Obviously, you know, the younger guys are the guys you really want to watch, because you know this is really important, because you know we practice against a 3-4 all during training camp, but you know 2 weeks in a row we're going to get to see a 4-man front and get some different reads and some different looks,
which is what we're going to see when the season opens against the Philadelphia Eagles, who will have a 4-man front for the Browns. Deke, just kind of take me inside of your mind for a second. You come down to a joint practice like this. I always see you moving around. You're talking to the coaches. But what is it that you're actually focused on? What do you come to watch?
Well, I like to, you know, watch the one-on-one pass protection, because, you know, if a guy can – you never see a guy, you know, cut in the NFL because he can't run block. It's because he can't pass block, because it's a passing league now. And I think, you know, that's important to see how, you know, they handle the one-on-one situations. The other part of it, I think, you know, you look at the 7-on-7 to see how your receivers match up against, you know, different defensive backs. And, you know, they've got a couple good ones over with Tampa. The rookie had a couple interceptions in the first game for Tampa. their number one pick. But I think just you want to see the offense get into a rhythm of some sort where, you know, they feel comfortable with what they're doing.
And it looked to me like maybe a little bit of a slow start for the offense. Joe Thomas kind of let him know that was unacceptable, needed to pick up. And I thought over the second half of practice, they played their best. And the ball really wasn't hitting the ground much. Did you feel like RG3 and company got into that rhythm you were looking for?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I saw Terrell Pryor, you know, he dropped one, in route. But then after that, you know, he caught some balls. And I think that's one of the questions, you know, about him. He's caught a couple great deep balls, but, you know, you'd like to see him what's going to happen when it goes inside. And, you know, that's something he's going to have to experience on his own, you know, and get hit. So I think, you know, this is really, you know, good work for these guys. And, of course, you know, with the heat today and then the heat tomorrow, you got to wonder, though, if when they go out there on Friday night, if it's not going to be at 33 and a third speed, because a lot of them are going to be drained.
Yeah, they are, and it's going to be interesting to see how this team comes back. And I thought it was interesting, you know, just watching today, our offense, even though Hugh Jackson wanted more tempo, it seemed was running at least two plays for every one that the Buccaneers offense was running when they were going kind of side by side there.
Well, yeah, and the other thing, you know, I was riding back to the hotel on the bus with a couple defensive backs, and they were talking about the size of, you know, Evans and the other receiver, I forget his name.
Vincent Jackson.
It's Vincent Jackson. They said, you know how big they were. But, you know, they said, I thought he was setting me up with a double move, but these guys aren't as fast as our guys. So they were, you know, a little taken back that, you know, they had the size and, you know, the bulk that you had
wow.
to fight through, but they didn't have the quickness of what they've, you know, been experiencing.
Well, that certainly is a positive thing because Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, two very successful receivers in the league, one obviously entering his third season. Vincent Jackson, more of a veteran there. And talk about those receivers. You mentioned Pryor earlier, but how good is it to see Josh Gordon back out there? And do you think he looks like the same guy you remember seeing?
Well, it's a little early. I think, you know, one thing, Josh needs to drop a couple pounds, and I think this is a good place to do it for sure. But, you know, I think, you know, just having him out there, I mean, he's done it. He's shown that he can do it. So, you know, he can. It's just a matter of getting himself back into playing shape and, you know, and staying out of trouble.
Deke, how important is it for Joe Hayden to come back and play at a high level? And I thought getting to see him out there today was one of the bright spots.
Well, I think, you know, it's really important. I mean, because every team needs a shutdown corner. And Joe, you know, obviously didn't play a lot last year. And, you know, the year before he struggled a little bit. So I think, you know, if you're going to try to set your defense and you're going to be aggressive, you've got to have corners that can cover man coverage. And Joe has shown that he can do it in the past. And, you know, Tremont is, you know, has been kind of kicked inside to the nickelback. So it's, you know, there's some changes back there. And then you got two new safeties. So all of a sudden, you know, Joe is, you know, really the only true veteran that's going to be starting if Tremont is, you know, kicked into a nickelback.
You're right about that. Talking with Doug Deacon, Browns analyst on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns radio network. Now, Deke, I know the lines are near and dear to your heart. You mentioned you love watching those one-on-ones there. Did you see anything from the Browns pass rushers? Because outside of Nassib and I'd say Ogba in the first game, there really hasn't been much from the outside linebackers, Kruger or Orchard or along the defensive line. Did you see anything that maybe stood out to you that maybe we can start getting to the quarterback a little bit more?
No, I don't think there was anything that really showed up today. They did a lot of blitzing. And if you remember in the preseason game against Tampa last year, they blitzed Winston quite a bit and
yep.
Really kind of rocked him. So I think, you know, Ray Horton is, you know, going to bring it, but, you can't bring him all the time. Otherwise, you're going to leave yourself susceptible. But I think, you know, the young kids, you know, they're getting some high-effort plays, Nassib and Ogba.
Yep.
And you know, I think there's a lot of learning there. You know, Ogba has not played all that much football, and, you know, I think Nassib, you know, kind of comes in with that overachiever level. But, as you know, I think his body grows and he finds, you know, out of how to play. Because you watch him, you know, I was talking to one of the scouts from Tampa. He said, you know, we watched him on film and you say, you know, geez, how did he do that? But, you know, he's just one of those guys that's got good instincts.
He does. And, you know, the other side of it is our defensive line at stopping the run, something that's been a big problem. What do you think is the most important thing that they need to clean up? And do you think it's a function of, you know, the guys not delivering or the fact that, you know, Desmond Bryant got hurt, John Hughes has been gone, two guys who are counted on to start in that three-man front haven't been there?
Well, yeah, it helps to have some stout people, you know, when you're playing a three-man front. But I think, you know, you know, a lot of it is, you know, playing your assignment. You know, too often we see the backside chase down the line of scrimmage and somebody sneaks out the back door. And, you know, you got to play your responsibility. But on the front side, you also got to be able to set the edge and turn it into the other people. And I think, you know, those are two things we struggled with immensely last year. And, you know, I think a lot of guys are just, you know, got to learn to do both of those much better.
What do Cam Irving and Danny Shelton have to show you or have to do to get to the point where, you know, they are living up to where they were picked a year ago?
Well, I think with Danny Shelton, he's got to do a better job of reading blocking assignments. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, he just doesn't get a feel for it because in college, you know, when you're that big and that powerful, you can overwhelm people. But when all of a sudden you're getting double teams and, you know, people are blocking down and swinging the center around, you know, those are things that you have to be able to read and react to. And I think, you know, a lot of it comes with experience and with it. And each time you go through it and you get a feel that, you know, I don't want to make that mistake again, then you learn. And, you know, that's one of the things. As far as Cam Irving, I think it's, you know, a case of, you know, just kind of settling down and not trying to do too much. I think he just needs to get his knees bent so, you know, he can use his power because he's stronger than, you know, last year I think the thought was he wasn't that strong. Well, I think he's gotten stronger. It's just now of winning the leverage battle because, you know, he's a tall guy. He's 6'5".
Yes.
And for a center, you know, that's tough. I mean, because you got a little squatty nose tackle most of the time. It's about 6'2", 6'3". And, you know, bending your knees those extra couple inches definitely help.
Is leverage the key for a guy like Cam Irving when he's that tall? Like, is it harder on him to get that low? Because I remember Robert Griffin III said, I've never seen a center that looks like Cam Irving.
No, it is tough. I mean, because, you know, you're snapping the ball, so you got your tail up, and then all of a sudden you got to, you know, be able to get your weight underneath you and get your knees bent. And it's tough. And, you know, you're already putting one hand back snapping the football, so you don't always have both hands, you know, at your use. So it's a tough assignment. And there's got to be a learning curve. I mean, and the other part of it is calling the plays. I mean, the calling out the defenses and the pass protections. Because, you know, you know, Alex Mack had done it for 3 or 4 years, and we all know, you know, Alex is one of the smarter guys that's probably come through here. And, you know, all of a sudden you've gone from one position to another position, back to the original position. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of fog in your head when you've done that many positions. So it's kind of clearing out the brain and just, you know, focusing on your one position now.
Deke, who's somebody that has really caught your eye that you think has a chance to make this football team that, you know, maybe coming into camp was really not on the radar?
I'm going to say Dominic Alexander, the mm-hmm. linebacker out of Oklahoma.
Yep, had an interception today as well, continues to play very well there. Deke, final one, what on Friday night do you need to see from this team? I know Hugh Jackson, all he cares about is winning, but what's the most important thing for the Browns to accomplish Friday?
Better on third down, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You got to get them off. I mean, we've had two games, and both games we've pretty much been doubled up on the numbers as far as plays and yards. So, I mean, those are the one only way you can stop them is get them off the field, and third down has been our bugaboo.
Absolutely. 40 minutes the defense has been on the field in each of the first two games. That's something they've got to fix. Getting off the field will certainly help that. Deke, appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you back out there in the heat tomorrow and hopefully around the bars tonight. And then get ready for your call with Jim Donovan on Friday.
Sounds good.
All right. Doug Deacon, Browns analyst from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, breaking down what he saw today. When we come back, Gibbs and I, final thoughts, also your final opportunity. You got any questions? 216-578-0850. Might even hear from Terrell Pryor, the Browns wide receiver, after his work with this Bucks team that's got some good corners. And I'll tell you what, he looked good against them. He did have the one drop. Deke pointed that out, but had many nice catches, especially on showing a diversity in his route tree against Brent Grimes. Outward breaking routes, vertical routes, and also inward breaking routes. I thought it looked very good, and even one comeback from Pryor there today, whose development continues to be one of the big stories of this Browns offseason. That's coming up when we return for our final segment here on this 2-2-2-2-Tuesday edition of CBD.
Now back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs down here in Tampa, Florida, our final segment. And I got to tell you something, Gibbs. I am happier than ever for a variety of reasons. And, of course, it was good to see this team out here. It's good to be in Tampa. It's good to know also that we have the support of people like Dan and Hershey Pa, who's been on the phone for over an hour, I'm told. So, Dan, we knew you called in, but I didn't know you were still there. So I apologize, but let's bring him up now. Dan in Hershey Pa. Dan, how are you?
It's a Hugh day. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. My man.
Well, I hadn't planned on calling. Now, first of all, I lived in an area for a little while. If you guys are out tonight and want a good meal and you haven't been there, try Burns Steakhouse.
So I have been there once before. I came down here. I've been down to Tampa a couple times with the kid, and we went there. And it is phenomenal, but it is, like, beyond an experience. It's a four-hour extravaganza.
Yeah,
but it is very good.
You can tour. They have a wine cellar there. If you did not, I don't know if you toured it or not. That's
yes, the wine cellar was amazing. I went up to. We did the dessert room. We did it. We did it all. We did it big.
Well, I hadn't planned on calling, but I mean, when I heard, like, what would I don't believe what I just heard, and that was Jason Gibbs going off on how good it looked. I mean, I called in just to ask him to say more good things about the Browns, man.
Gibbs,
how
he wants
awesome.
More of you. He's saying he wants more good things for Jason
I
Gibbs.
Do.
Positive Jason Gibbs is a great Jason Gibbs, I'm told.
I've liked what I've seen so far.
Wow.
Wow, seriously. Like, all right, hold on, Gibbs. Wait, let's just find out. We're going to do, we got to go, we got to do something right now. Dan, you can stay on the line, my
oh,
man from
no.
Hershey Pop. Here it comes, Gibbs.
No, man, let's not
let's
ruin
do it.
Today.
Let's do
we
it.
Shouldn't
if,
ruin
if you
today.
Can guess one stat, okay, we're playing the Buccaneers, right? So this is, we'll do a Buccaneers stat, and you should, we've talked about this, so I feel
I
like you have a good idea.
I just got my game notes.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm going to
are you ready?
Dead.
Yeah.
Doug Martin.
You're going to ruin any mojo
Doug Martin
that we had
last
going.
Year. No, if you get, if this happens today, this is like seriously, like, I don't know. Make sure you enjoy yourself for the next 24 hours. We don't know what's going to happen with planet Earth. All right. How many yards did Doug Martin rush for in 2015? Jason Gibbs, guess the stats. Just rushing yards. One stat. This is the one deal.
1,278.
1,402. That's within 10%. That's
is...
a win. That's the best. Dan, this is something special that's happening
Muscle
right
hamster.
Now. He's positive. He's done a guess the stats correctly.
Kind of correctly.
You're within 10%. That's a win for sure.
I'll take it. I'll take baby steps.
That's an absolute win. You're never, I mean, you're not normally within 50%.
I was going to say, it's ugly. It's very ugly usually.
So, I mean, we got to obviously.
Well, I got to say, my heart went out to him when I heard his experience in Buffalo last year, where he was the Browns guy on the sideline.
Yeah, when
oh,
he was being
God.
Trash-talked.
Oh, that must have been horrible.
Gibbs, what was it like? What went through your mind when Aaron Williams was trash-talking you like, hey, Browns guy? Like, what?
So, let me take you back.
Take us back.
I'm walking, you know, I've got my Browns credential, so I can go anywhere. Last year was a little bit more free. You could walk around, you could be on the sidelines, you could see things. I end up on the Bills sideline at the end of the practice. And I just hear, hey, Browns guy, hey, Browns guy. And everybody, and a couple other guys, Browns guy, Browns guy. And I'm like, oh God, I realized I'm wearing a Browns polo and they are talking to me. Sweet. I turn around, I said, hey, what's up, guys? They're like, hey, Browns guy, you want to give you guys a little pep talk for tomorrow? We'd like a little bit better effort today. That's exactly what they said. And I said, well, I'll see what I can do. I'm a little shell-shocked myself, and that's how
well,
it went. There was none of that today. By
the
way,
50s, I
Dirk
can't
Cutter,
wait for that stuff
you and I
end.
Have been talking about during the break, Dirk Cutter was not pleased with his team's effort today.
Hey.
No. He was like, there was no juice. Nobody wanted to be here. It was terrible.
Yeah. The world is ending, and they might have to cut their second-round pick who's a kicker.
Unbelievable. But all in
it's
all,
good not to be in that position.
Yes, it is. Hey, let me ask you something here. Is Dan still with us? Dan's gone. Oh, I felt like he should get his own segment after being there.
Good for him waiting. Dan and Hershey Powell wait. Clearly.
I love it. And I'm excited.
He's committed.
He's committed. And I think there is some. I mean, we heard positive Tony Grossi here on Cleveland Browns Daily, which we'll hope to, like, we can do that again and have more positivity.
That'll be up on the Pod Center later.
We got positive Jason Gibbs. You've guessed the stats. We've survived the heat.
That was a struggle. The struggle was real.
We've got the Hugh Jackson show coming up later today. You look like a super happy guy right now. I'm super happy.
We're in our final hour of work for the day.
I mean,
my day started at 5:15 this morning.
Yours started a little bit before mine. I will say that.
The heat index is up to 107 outside.
What are we going to eat tonight? That's what I want to know.
You know what?
We need to eat something
good.
That's
a great question.
I'm feeling sushi. I don't know. Maybe that's
I like sushi.
Guys, okay. As the seventh string producer of the show.
What?
As the seventh string producer of this show.
The seventh string producer. I'm. By the way, Danny, I'm elevating you to like at least like fifth.
My name's Mike,
of
all.
Oh, it's Mike. What? I'm sorry. Dreamer. I'm sorry. Dreamer was out. Danny was in early.
God.
Dreamer.
Fourth string.
He's pooping on you.
Fourth string. Danny only got up to fifth string.
Danny.
I'm making Dan and Hershey friend of the show.
That's right.
Yes. Go ahead, Dreamer. Talk.
I'm making Dan and Hershey, PA, a friend of the show.
He is a friend. You have that right. Anybody, if you're willing to wait an hour to talk to us, that's absolute friend of the show status. And he's one of our more consistent callers.
He is.
Dan and Hershey Pop. Good insights. He's always excited. Danny. It's a Hugh day. Yes, it is. That was a strong way to start his thing. And Gibbs, just for everybody who's listening, because I know it's a big topic around town, that you are saying that we will have a new show open for the regular season.
The regular season. New music beds, everything.
Can we kick that off the Friday before the first game?
Do you want to do it the Friday or like the Tuesday after Labor Day?
Oh, for that week?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Like,
deal.
The season starts on that Tuesday. It technically starts on that Monday when we all have to work on Labor Day, but that's neither here nor there.
Deal. That is neither here nor there. That is right. So all in all, folks, if you're just tuning in, I would highly recommend that you check out the pod of the show, because we had loaded guests today. First of all, we heard from Hugh Jackson. We heard from Josh Gordon, and I love the fact that he says, I want to be a Brown. Like, I don't even want to hear about this nonsense. I want to be a Brown. I love that. We also heard from Andrew Gribble, Doug Deacon, Tony Grossi. That's right. Tony Grossi all here. Positive Jason Gibbs. If you just missed it, the debut of positive Jason Gibbs. So that's huge. And I'm certainly very, very excited about all of that and everything that's going on. And you know, we want to see this offense go. We want to see the first win for Hugh Jackson on Friday, just because I think it helps. You know, watching Hard Knocks, those Rams team has rallied for a couple late wins, and you can just tell it helps. I'm not saying this team isn't positive, but I think getting that win and feeling it and tasting it will be good. And I think no better time than Friday when you're actually playing your starters the most.
And on national TV.
That's right.
Stage is big.
It's a new era.
You know what? You want to make your mark. You want to get people's heads turning, you go out and you win that game Friday night.
Let's go. Giddy up. We want to thank all of you for being with us. I want to thank our producer, Mike Dreamer. Thank you. Sorry about that. Of course, Jason Gibbs. And, of course, Tony Grossi for being with us. Andrew Gribble, Doug Deacon, all for joining us here today. We've got the Coach Hugh Jackson show tonight. Myself, Ken Carmen, all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Hugh Jackson.
That's at 7. Hugh Jackson, of course, will be with us.
Big play Gare.
Gary Barnes, Browns Pro Bowl tight end, will be with us on that show as well. So tune in for that. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys now. And for Dreamer and Gibbs, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN at 850 WKNO.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.